Hi, Nick.
It'd be great if I punched him up, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be.
Hello, Nick.
Usually the way that works.
What's going on, guys? How we doing?
I am outstanding. And now I'm also understanding why Vegas looked at the Browns and said, 8.5. And the under looked pretty good if you were watching week one. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think obviously it goes without saying that the quarterback is dreadful. Doesn't look like he cares. Doesn't look like he wants to be out there. I told you last week that I had heard that he was not healthy. I don't think he looked particularly great in the game. No real velocity throwing the ball down the field. Amari Cooper, 900 air yards, and I don't know how many yards he ended up with the game, but not a great game for Amari Cooper. But there are a couple things that I think to take, and look, like I told you guys last week, there are no great outcomes this year for the Cleveland Browns. I actually, unfortunately, don't think they exist. Now, what they should do is just sit Deshaun Watson down, figure out a way to try and void his contract, and play Jameis Winston. I don't know if that's going to happen soon, but that's obviously what they should do. That'll be Jimmy Haslam's call, obviously, right? Not Kevin Stefanski or Andrew Berry. But I think if you want to make an optimistic case for the Browns this week against the Jaguars or moving forward, it does need to be said that Cleveland's offensive line is absolutely in tatters last week, right? And was never going to be able to protect Micah Parsons and company. One of the reasons I like the Cowboys in the game. So the injury report comes out yesterday, the first one, and I don't think we have an injury report yet today. This morning.
Not yet, no.
Right, but Jack Conklin practiced yesterday in a limited fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Joe, I know Betonio's on the injury report, but he practiced also. And Kevin Stefanski told the media yesterday before practice that he expected Jedrick Wills to practice. He didn't, but I'm curious to see if Wills is able to get a practice in today. Because if the Browns are able to get Wills and Conklin back onto the field Sunday against Jacksonville, I mean, it's actually a really big deal. The Browns are not a bad football team. The roster from 2 through 53 is pretty damn good. It's just that the quarterback's absolutely terrible. But, if they're going to have a healthy offensive line and the point spread of the game, guys, is going to be Jaguars -3.5 or even a juiced 3 towards Jacksonville, I would only bet the Browns in the game. So I actually have interest, as crazy as this sounds, I have interest in backing Cleveland on Sunday pending the offensive line.
Nick, what kind of a seismic move would it be to switch quarterbacks? And how far do you think that how far would this have to continue for them to make that move? I can't even see it happening. Just straight out benching because of play, just because of the contract and the trade.
Well, I would say it's not just because of the play, which, by the way, is abhorrent. He's terrible. Also, and I don't want to, I wasn't there for any of these allegations. I don't know that they happened. All I know is they're all pretty disturbing, right? And they all seem to follow the same pattern. And if this stuff is true, he's a legitimate psychopath. If it's true, I'm not saying it is. I have no idea. He also settled all of these things. Seems bad, but doesn't seem good. So, the NFL has a saying, if Hannibal Lecter ran a past 40-yard dash, people would look past the cannibalism, right? Because at the NFL, if you can play, you're going to be out on the field, no matter what type of person you are. There are limits to that, obviously, but I think that kind of rings true in the NFL and basically in all sports. So it's one thing if, Deshaun Watson is, a predator, and again, I'm not saying he is, but there's a lot of allegations that say he is. It's one thing if, that's who you are off the field, but you're awesome on it. He's terrible on the field and apparently terrible off of it also. What's the purpose of continuing on with this? It's brought no joy to anyone. The team hasn't won anything. They were better last year when Joe Flacco came off his couch, was throwing 300-yard games. Why can't Deshaun Watson do that? I just don't see what the point is of belaboring this. I guess, the argument would be because he's making us $230 million guaranteed. Yeah, I personally think it's time at this point for the Browns to admit the mistake. It is a sunk cost. It's over. Try and void the contract. Let's get on with the season. And at least, if Jameis Winston plays, at least there's some, fun and joy injected into the season. I think that's what they should do. You guys would know better than me, when it would happen. I think it should happen now. We'll see.
I'm just wondering, looking at it from your perspective and from a gaming perspective, that if Deshaun keeps going out there, it's interesting that you say that you like the Browns this week just because of the spread, but I think it makes it easy. If you believe everything that you're saying about Deshaun right now, isn't it easy to bet against the Browns? Depending on the spread.
This is the great thing with sports betting, right?
Right.
And I opened my show yesterday, You Better You Bet, talking about three teams with quarterbacks that were terrible in week one that I would like to back in week two at price. Because there always has to be a point, when people, if you bet on sports, right? And this is kind of something that's lost with and this is not to denigrate like actual sports talk, like actual, I love sports talk. It's one of my favorite things. I love talking about sports. But when, like, there always has to be a price where you're willing to back, like, the team or the quarterback that you think is bad. Like, they're all, it just has to exist. Like, what if Cleveland was a 14-point underdog on Sunday against Shaq? You would like Cleveland in the game, obviously, mm-hmm. right? Even if Deshaun stinks. So, like, my point is, if Jacksonville is going to be more than a 3-point favorite, like, and most games, like, the majority of games, 3 is the number that lands the most. Like, has Jacksonville shown anything to anyone at the second half of last season, or, you know, up 17-7 against Miami on Sunday, ETN fumbles the ball into the end zone, they end up losing 20-17, do nothing at the end of the game. Like, does Jacksonville strike anyone as the type of team that you should feel confident in winning by margin? Like, winning this game by 4 points, 6 points, 7 points, against, again, like, the Browns are good, just that the quarterback's terrible. Like, Watson's terrible, but, like, the defense is still good. Like, I know Dallas scored 33 points. The Cowboys averaged 4.4 yards per play in the game. Like, the Cowboys' offense did not go up and down the field on the Browns' defense here. So, yeah, like, I think Watson stinks. But if the point spread's 3.5, like, I don't know what the case is for Jacksonville, unless you think Watson's going to throw 4 pick sixes, it's possible. So that's why I like the Browns on Sunday.
What did you think of the AFC North last week? What caught you by surprise? What caught betters by surprise?
Well, I think probably everything, right? I liked the Steelers, so that I'm not surprised by that result, that they were able to win the game. That seems like a class. By the way, I bet against the Steelers. I bet the Broncos +3 on Sunday. Just like that was a classic Mike Tomlin spot to win in week one, and like as an underdog on the road with Justin Fields. Now, like, going to altitude, second straight road game, this is like a classic Mike Tomlin lose spot, I think, on Sunday at Sean Payton and the Broncos. I'm very worried about the Baltimore Ravens, and I think I'm actually more worried about the Ravens than I am about the Bengals, and I can explain why briefly here. I said, I think, to you guys last week, I had major concerns about the Ravens' offensive line this season. They lost 3 of 5 starters from Lamar's MVP year last year, and the defensive coordinator, WizKid, who's now the head coach of Seattle, and Mike McDonald. Did anyone think the offensive line for Baltimore looked good last week against Kansas City? Like, did anyone think that the defense looked the same as it had with Mike McDonald calling it last year? I'm not suggesting the Ravens are going to be bad. Like, they're going to go 6-11. I don't think that's going to happen. But I have major concerns about Baltimore. How is their offensive line going to block Max Crosby and Christian Wilkins on Sunday? Like, I want someone to tell me how that's happening. I think they're going to wreck the game. I don't know if the Raiders will win, but I do think the Raiders will cover the spread. And again, big concerns about Baltimore. For Cincy, this has kind of been a pattern for them, where they come out of the gates and they struggle. We've seen it happen a number of seasons now, including like a couple years ago, right, against the Steelers, right, when T.J. Watt had that pick six of Joe Burrow, where I think Cincy will be able to rebound. Burrow practiced yesterday in full. Jamar Chase will continue to get acclimated into the lineup. Got to get T. Higgins back. He didn't practice yesterday. I think if you made me pick the division winner right now, I would take Cincinnati begrudgingly, but I mean, I don't think any of these teams look tremendously impressive through 1 week.
Mm. Hey, Nick, I got a gaming question. I wrote this down because I was thinking about this the other day, and I knew we were going to talk to you. When it comes to same-game parlays, and I'm just asking you personally on same-game parlays, do you pick your own, or do you do the ones that are already set out there for you? And if you're a gamer, what should you look at? Should you try to figure out your own, or should you look and see what they give you on these same-game parlays?
I would strongly recommend, I'm not going to be able to give you like a really like super duper, like master's level answer to this question.
Sure.
I would absolutely look to set your own. And when you set your, and again, I'm going to try and give an intelligent answer here.
Okay.
The same game parlay that you place should be correlated in some way. So view like a couple things happening in the game, for instance, right? If you think both quarterbacks are going to throw for 1 billion yards in a game, like, you should probably bet have the over with it, not the under. Like, all the bets that you have should flow into like a concept on how you see the game playing out. Like, it would kind of make like no sense for you to bet like, you know, Josh Allen over passing yards tonight, but the Bills to go under their team total, for instance, right?
Don't bet against yourself, right? That's what you're basically saying. Yeah.
Well, because there are people that release same game parlays, and it's like, and I can't think of a good example off the top of my head, where if you actually think about it for a second, like, these events don't make sense, like, meshing together. Like, they don't make sense. Now, like, if let's say you wanted to make a case like tonight, for instance, right? Mm-hmm. You like James Cook over rushing yards. You like Devon Achane over rushing yards for the Dolphins, right? So you think that both ground games are going to have success here. Like, that makes sense if you want to bet, if you want to correlate the under with it, right? Because you're going to have first downs, the clock is going to move. Like, that's the same game. It doesn't mean it's going to win, but at least it makes sense. So that's what I would encourage people to do if you're going to place the same game parlay. Like, make sure that, like, all of these events taking place together, like, that they make sense in concordance, that one doesn't run contrary to the other.
Did you hear anything from Tom Brady the other day doing the Browns-Cowboys game that would make you think, yep, people are going to start betting on that?
Betting on what with Brady? Like, is he going to be a good broadcaster? Or?
On what kind of things he might say? Does he have any? Did you pick up any crutches? I just thought there might be something fun there.
So I only saw a little of Brady only because I was in Vegas this past weekend and I watched all the games at the sports book, and they have every game on, and they don't have like the volume on for every game. But I will have a much better answer for you guys after this week, because I'll be able to sit like in my house and like actually watch Brady. So I read some of the reviews. I saw some of the clips. Like, he obviously wasn't great, but I would just say, like, look, like, this stuff's difficult. I think it's probably unfair to expect him to come out of the chute immediately and be great. I'm still willing to have like a jury is out approach on Brady. All he has to do is let it rip and he's going to be awesome. And we'll see. It remains to be seen if he's going to do that.
I thought it was pretty solid for his first game. I thought he did a nice job for his first game.
I think
game.
Most people thought he was bad from what I read.
I read that too, and I didn't agree.
Okay, great.
There we have it.
I think it would be awesome if he were great. We should be rooting for him to be great.
I agree. I agree with you on that, Nick.
Tell you who's really rooting. Fox, because they're paying a lot of money. Or they're going to root for him to become the minority owner out in Vegas, and so he can't do games anymore if it's not working out. So they can get out. Maybe they can get out of the contract, and they can be like, ooh, phew, we didn't have to spend that money. Tonight's game, Bills-Dolphins. I know you kind of touched on it a little bit. Who do you like, and what do you like in the game?
So I placed a bet on the side of the game. I don't think it's like the best bet I've ever placed, but listen, I want action on the game tonight. I do think the wrong team is favored. Miami's a 2.5-point home favorite. I would make the Bills a small favorite. So I like Buffalo in the game. Like, I think Buffalo's a little more likely to win than the betting market indicates. I do like the under in the game because I do think that Buffalo is going to have a lot of success on the ground. And kind of lost in the, like, Josh Allen 4-touchdown mania this past Sunday, and he's amazing, obviously. Buffalo, and we saw this, guys, after Buffalo lost to Denver on Monday night last year and fired offensive coordinator Ken Dorsey, who's obviously now in Cleveland as the Browns offensive coordinator, with the Bills making the shift away from passing the ball, like the spread offense, and they really are like more of like a running football team now, where, you know, James Cook gets the ball a ton, Allen runs the ball a ton, and we saw the Dolphins get creamed this past Sunday by the Jaguars, averaging about 5 yards per carry, the Jaguars did here. So I think this is going to be a really nice game for James Cook. I like his over rushing yards tonight, sitting 60.5 at BetMGM. I think the Bills are going to be able to control the clock in this game, and we have seen Tua and Tyreek Hill and company not have a lot of offensive success against the Sean McDermott defense in the times that they've gone against each other. I like the under in tonight's game. Make me pick a winner. I'll take the Buffalo Bills. My favorite prop, James Cook, over rushing yards.
All righty. Nick, say goodbye the way you like to say goodbye.
Yeah, wishing everybody minimal sweats, winning bets. The absolute very best of luck.
All right, Nick, as always, we appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Thanks, buddy.
You got it, guys. You got it.
He is Jeff Phelps. I'm Andy Baskin, 216-474-0092. Coming up a little bit later in the hour. Ho-ho, guess who we're going to talk to? His name is Daryl Ryder.
Oh, ho.
Looking forward to it. He's a young go-getter out there that I hear about every once in a while.
Daryl Ryder.
And we'll be talking to him for the first time ever on the radio. We'll see if he's nervous or not.
Ryder, yes.
Daryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter, coming up at 11:40. Chris Rose at 12:20. We are just chock full of great interviews today and the voices you know and trust in Northeast Ohio sports, including Nick Kostos, who has been with us for a little bit more than a year now, right? He's our Odyssey Sports Insider, especially when it comes to gaming. And he's not
opinionated.
I don't think he's a big Deshaun Watson fan. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that.
Don't think he's fond of Deshaun.
I don't think he is believes that he will take the Browns to the Super Bowl at this point.
I'm guessing that is correct.
Any other insight?
He said he'd bench him.
He said
I can't see that happening.
I can't either. Yes, I can. It would be out of desperation, and I don't think it would be a true benching.
You've mentioned this.
If for some reason,
say it again,
they needed to walk away from Deshaun, it would be injury related or shoulder
Rodney from Caddyshack.
Yeah, well, it's not even that. I don't know that it's that. It could be, look, we need to take a look at the shoulder because things don't look right. And while we've been trying to push this and he wants to play and we want him to play, we know something's not right. So we're going to reevaluate that shoulder and we may have to shut him down for a little bit to make sure. Again, let's not forget that the surgeries that he had are unique to a quarterback and we've never really seen this before. And we really had, high aspirations for making sure that this was going to work and we felt good about it. But, just now we just, everything's kind of new on this. And for some reason, we don't think it's healing the way it's supposed to heal. So we're going to take a little time off and we're going to rest it for a little while. That's your way out of it, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. If you're looking for a way out of not playing him,
that's the whole thing.
Maybe he just goes out and plays well this week and we end all the football.
Don't have
talk.
To talk about this stuff? Yeah. But you need a plan B. And again, I constantly am asking this question about last week's game. One, how much of it was him? Two, how much of it was the offensive line? Three, how much of it was Dallas? And how good they were. And I not necessarily in that order. It might be the other way around.
The offensive line, I still, that one still bothers me because I think that's Dallas. I don't think they're, could be wrong here. I don't think there are major issues with the offensive line. I don't.
Well,
you have a future Hall of Famer at left guard who can still play. You have a good center. You have a Pro Bowler at right guard.
Jeff, it's like, again, I'll say it again. If you've got five guys on the line and David Njoku's out, it would make it six, but I'll just go with five, and you're used to your normal five, and you eliminate your thumb and your pinky, and now try to use your hand.
They're not used to their normal five. They weren't there last year.
Okay, well, okay, so put DeJuan in there, who's also coming back from injury.
I know he is.
But no one wants to talk about that either.
I have. You have.
I don't know that we've talked about the injury part of it. We just assume that.
No,
I kind of assumed that he would go back to where
Conklin
he was.
Conklin and Wills all coming back from season-ending surgeries.
We just haven't talked. I don't. Maybe I just feel like we haven't talked about it that much.
You've missed those parts of the show.
I did. I was on autopilot for those parts of the show. I was like, oh, let Jeff talk. It'll be good. I just want to listen. Ernie is in Florida. Hello, Ernie.
Ernie.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. What's going on, my friend?
We're in Florida.
It's Bernie as in Koza, but close
Bernie.
Enough.
Oh, Bernie, what's up, my man? Sorry.
So, a couple of givens. One, Watson's done. Just feels like he is. His body language isn't good. Even if he was healthy, I just don't feel like he's going to get us there. I think that the team was built to win last year, and they're getting old. And if you look at the offensive line, you look at really anybody other than JOK, Miles, couple cornerbacks. You've got, there's not much there. They were built to win last year. And with all the, Chubb went down, God bless them, Watson got hurt. They're on the downside, and they don't have a quarterback. I just think there's a long, dark period for our Browns.
All right, Bernie, thank you. Appreciate it. It's so weird. Jeff, I mean, for the last 2-3 years, we've said this is the youngest team in the NFL. They're young. And now all of a sudden, that threshold of 30-year-olds has changed with the Browns roster.
They have some guys who are up there a little bit, Andy. I think it kind of skews it just a little bit, but I think there's a lot of overreacting going on. Let's see what they do against Jacksonville. Can we? Can we see that?
No, it's
before
more fun
we
to,
start freaking
it's,
out.
It's more fun to overreact right now.
No,
isn't it?
It's actually not.
I think we're just
think
used to it.
It's somewhat
though.
Irrational.
That's the problem. I think that, but that's what it is. Browns with now five guys over 30 on the roster.
Let's see how they play. Okay, against Jacksonville. Jacksonville's a good team. They're not the Dallas Cowboys. Not that Dallas is going to go undefeated or anything, but I think the Cowboys were. A, better. B, looked better prepared. C, looked a lot more focused.
They were ready to play. I don't think there's any question. Nate's in West Salem. Hello, Nate.
Hello, Nate.
Morning, guys. Jeff, I got a bone to pick with you just a little bit.
Here
a little
we
while
go.
Ago.
Great.
Just, and, it's a small bone to pick. But you mentioned that you felt that Deshaun, he'll get the whole season. We got to see what we have. And I think that you need to evaluate Deshaun as you would any other player who, if he's not performing, you have an obligation to the fans to put out the best product you can on the field to win games. And it's unfair to the people who are paying to watch or just going to the bar. It's unfair to Jimmy Donovan to put that product on the field that first game. That was terrible. And it wasn't all just Deshaun, but if it continues to be that, you know, it may just be, no matter what anybody feels about him, he may just not have it anymore. And if he, it could be just simply due to injury, fine. But if he doesn't have it anymore, you just don't keep force feeding that just because.
How long? If you think he doesn't have it anymore, how long are you giving him?
Well, let me ask you this. Can this team make the playoffs with good quarterback play?
With good quarterback play? Yeah, I think they can.
We think so.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then I'd say if he looks terrible during Jacksonville, you can't go. I mean, how many losses do you think you can get to the playoffs with? You can't do seven. You're going to need to have some courage to pull the plug on something. It's like these guys keep going back to the counter with a lottery ticket that didn't win and saying, can you check my numbers again?
I've tried that, Nate, numerous times. JJ doesn't want to hear it.
He only gives them $4 every once in a while. It's crazy.
Well, we played one of the $30 tickets with Deshaun, and we put up like $500 thinking, man, we've got a chance to come out with something. It didn't hit, man. It didn't hit. And so let's keep trying to think that we're going to hit on this. And now, if it turns out, you know, I'd say two or three more games, that's it.
I just think 0-4 is that magic mark. And although that was back in the 16-game schedule, so maybe it's a little different, but 0-4 was always the death number, I think, for teams
then
that
you're
were
asking
looking.
The quarterback, yeah. Then you're asking a quarterback who hasn't taken the field yet this season to run it out clean. I think that's unfair. You got to give that quarterback a chance to lose a game or two.
Nate, thank you. Appreciate it. Second best, third best gig in town. Backup quarterback. Always is, always will be.
I
used to be the top.
I can't see this team pulling the plug on Deshaun based on play. Unless your scenario comes into play, Andy, which is, yeah, the shoulder's not what it should be. And the minute you hear a health thing, that changes the narrative, whether it's true or not.
Richie is in Cleveland. Is this Richie my man or just Richie?
No, it's the man. How you guys
Richie,
doing?
Richie, my man!
Andy, Jeff, and friends, long time no see. Hope you guys are doing good. Still love your show after all these years.
Well, we still love you, Richie. What do you got for us?
Hi, Richie.
Hi, Jeff. Hey, real quick, you know, I wasn't a fan of this Deshaun acquisition, and I like the guy. I do. I don't wish nothing bad on anybody, but I'm never a fan of giving up the farm for one guy. I remember when, what was it, Minnesota gave Dallas all those picks for Herschel Walker.
Yeah.
And remember when Ditka was coaching the Saints and he gave up that whole draft to get Ricky Williams?
That doesn't work, does it, Richie?
I think it's just too big of a risk. And like I said, I like the guy. I hope nothing, you know, I hope he can just, you know, get it together and play lights out. But speaking of lights out, I think the Browns are going to have to play lights out football to win 9 games this year. I was looking at that schedule. It doesn't look easy. And if they go 0-4 out of the box, it might be time to give Jameis a chance under center there. So I don't know. I'm going to hope for the best, and thanks for taking my call.
All right. Thank you, Richie, my man.
Good to hear from you, Richie. I thought Otis was my man.
No. Richie's my man. I don't know. It's time. I mean, like, I have to explain Animal House to people now. Chris Rose just ripped into me because I made an Animal House reference during one of the pregame shows a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Like, ripped into me. Like, I can't. We better ask him that when we talk to him at 12:20. You know who we're talking to next? Daryl Ryder.
Mm-hmm.
We'll hear from him next. Baskin and Phelps. 92.3 The Fan.
The happiest man I know is Daryl Ryder.
Daryl, are you happy today? Because I just read this new report from what Tony Busby, Jane Doe's lawyer, is now saying about pertinent video. I'll give you the opportunity. Do you have any information on this? Or? Oh, sorry. He's on the phone line.
It's usually good to punch up
guests. I'm 0-2 on phone line. Hi, Daryl. Sorry about that. That's my fault.
Minor problem.
Chatting with you guys.
I do.
Are you at Browns today? Are you sitting out there in Berea right now?
Yes, I am.
Okay, it sounds like you're in the Berea zone.
Cone of silence.
In the hallway.
Oh, at least you're in the hallway. Any thoughts on this new? We'll read it. We haven't read it on the air yet because we just got it. But the new Tony Busby, Pro Football Talk, new Deshaun Watson accuser will meet with the NFL, has pertinent video. Does that mean anything in the immediate future as far as Deshaun Watson is concerned?
In the immediate future, no. I mean, Busby said yesterday on Instagram that he would make the plaintiff available to the NFL for an interview to aid the league in their investigation into this matter. I don't know about pertinent video. Obviously, at some point, we'll find out what that means. But, we already know that she was going to cooperate with the NFL's investigation.
We've kicked this around a couple of days. Does there come a time where this team is able, if it decides to bench him for play, just flat out play on the field? Or does the trade, the contract, and everything else, Daryl, I mean, does that just get in the way and that's not going to happen?
They're all in on being in business with Deshaun Watson. I mean, that's all I can tell you. I mean, Kevin Stefanski made it clear yesterday that Deshaun was going to start this week in Jacksonville. I mean, I can make the case that he shouldn't be starting in Jacksonville. He's got a lot going on off the field, grieving the loss of his father, grieving the loss of his friend and former teammate, obviously, this lawsuit too. So there's a lot going on that's not football related, but Stefanski, the organization, Watson himself all insist that, he is focusing on football. And so we're going to find out on Sunday just how focused on football he's been.
Does anyone want to take into consideration that he had his shoulder rebuilt in a way that no one's ever had before and that maybe it's not 100% healed and it's not where it's supposed to be? Is that anyone taking that into consideration?
Why? They say he's healthy. So go out and play. Go out and perform.
Okay, Daryl Ryder, who watches football the same way I do. Do you think he's 100% healthy?
Yeah.
You do think he's 100% healthy. Okay.
Andy, yeah. I do too, because they put him on the field and said he is.
Yeah. I mean, he...
I got 231 million reasons to say he's healthy too to get him on the field.
230 million.
Yeah, oh, that's right. I gave him the extra million.
You did.
I am so sorry.
You gave him Dak Prescott money.
I apologize to Dak. I gave him that extra million.
I mean, he's been throwing football since April, actually a little before that, but in a football setting.
But not live action against another team that wants to eat him for lunch. Like we saw for the first time yesterday in a year.
The job description.
I'm sorry, Sunday.
So, yeah, I mean, it's the job description. So they say he's healthy. He says he's healthy. So, if he's healthy, he should play.
Okay.
Daryl, you and I are on the exact same page there.
Maybe you guys should do a podcast together.
Let's go, D. You and me, baby. All right, so.
Daryl, do you have anyone ideas?
Wait, can I ask you a question before we even go? Do you have a prediction for this week's game?
Shouldn't that be the last thing?
No.
It's an inside joke, Jeff.
It's anyone that's watched or listened to, it's always game day in Cleveland. Sorry, that was for you. He won't give predictions now. You know what? I'm going to tell you, everybody. I'm not going to make an inside joke.
He's a reporter. He doesn't need to give us predictions all the time.
So he asked me at the end of the podcast yesterday, he goes, make a prediction. I'm like, all right. So I make some wacky prediction, 18-12.
And then he didn't give one.
And then he said, oh, I'm not going to give one.
Good
and I'm
move,
like,
D.
Well, why would I want to do predictions with you if you're not going
to
do one?
Isn't it fun to put him on the spot, Daryl?
He's always putting me on the spot.
Exactly.
It's fair play.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, but you can handle being on the spot. Much more sensitive than you are.
The offensive line is catching an awful lot of grief. You tell me, was it Dallas's defense? Was it scheme? Or I refuse to say that there are huge problems on the line because I don't think there are. And though DeJuan wasn't great and he's coming back from surgery, he's a pretty experienced guy in 1 year. He started a lot of games last year and did a nice job. I just think they went up against
a
good defense.
For a guy that's experienced, Jeff.
Well, Daryl, I get that. I get that, but I'm giving credit to Dallas's D on this.
Well, I asked Ken Dorsey about it this morning. He said a lot of words without answering the question. So, I don't know. I mean, my perception is that Yeah, the offensive line was not good. It was not a good performance. But Deshaun was as bad, if not worse. I mean, the guy got hit 17 times. Sack six. There's protection issues, obviously, but two, he's not reading the field. And there were plays down the field to be made that he just flat out didn't see and didn't make. The other thing too is he used to love when teams would come after him because then he'd just make them look really stupid and silly and put them on roller skates with his legs. And then he'd beat him with his arm. He didn't do that on Sunday. That's what makes me nervous because, and this is why I think the game in Jacksonville is going to be a really good litmus test here for Watson and evaluating where he's at because they get after the quarterback too. They had they had three or four sacks in week one, that defensive front. They get after the quarterback too. They dial up the heat. So we're going to see how Deshaun improves week one to week two when it comes to dealing with pressure. We're also going to see if this offensive line can, you know, keep them upright as well. We'll also see if the offensive line, namely DeJuan Jones, can line up properly and also not false start. This is a real good opportunity for Watson to show that he still has it and that, you know, week one was just that. It's week one and everybody's overreacting, I should say, for no reason. But again, you know, obviously Watson's got to go out and play well to show that.
What's your confidence level in that happening then this week?
Not very high.
All right. Well, you've laid down the groundwork on that. Now,
what evidence do I have to be confident?
None. Not right now.
Right.
Other than here's the one thing I will say, because you brought it up about the offside and lining up right. That is a correctable problem from a coach's standpoint, right?
You're 100% correct on that, Andy. Absolutely.
So if they can correct that, it'll be interesting that you don't put Deshaun Watson in 3rd and 9 or 3rd and 14 situations where you can get something that's manageable to get to a first down, which then changes the whole dynamic of the game and also doesn't leave your defense out on the field for the entire first half and then while your offense only comes up with one first down.
Exactly. So, I honestly, I don't know what to expect Sunday in Jacksonville. I know what I hope to expect, and that is that Watson comes out and he's better, handles pressure better, makes some plays down the field, right? Gives us a sign of life, if you will. The offense doesn't go three and out six times, doesn't have seven consecutive three play or fewer drives, right? As you mentioned, just one first down there in the first half, not many yards by halftime. I know what I hope to see Sunday in Jacksonville, but as far as like my confidence in actually seeing it, I feel bad saying it, but I don't have a lot of confidence, especially with everything that Watson's dealing with off the field.
Defense okay?
I think so. They were on the field an awfully lot in that first half, sure, as Andy mentioned.
20 minutes.
They only gave up two touchdown drives. Dak Prescott, they held Dak Prescott to less than 200 yards passing, only one touchdown. That for me, Jeff, against that offense and that talent, like that's winning football. They had one major defensive breakdown, and you know, again, like we said about the offensive line, that's correctable. So the only thing that worries me really defensively, where I am concerned, it's health. I mean, you lost two linebackers, plus Mo Hurst, plus Juan Thornhill, the injured reserve. So those guys aren't going to be available for the next 4 weeks. So the depth that they have on that side of the ball is going to be tested now over the next couple weeks. But as far as just like overall play, like I don't honestly think the defense – I know they gave up 33 points on Sunday. Seven of those, by the way, was on a punt return, right? So it's actually 26 points that they gave up. And again, against that offense, only two touchdowns, held them to a lot of field goals. I don't think the defense had that bad of a day. Yes, there were some mistakes, things need corrected, whatever, but I don't think that it was that bad of a performance where, you know, anyone should be really nervous about that side of the ball.
All right, Darryl, we haven't talked about the new Tony Busby story, so we're going to do it when we come back. I just want to ask you this one question before I let you go. Look, as we see, this is starting to heat up a little bit more with Jane Doe's lawyer, who's now saying they have pertinent video and they're going to talk to the NFL. Would it not, and again, if Deshaun is innocent, then I'm all for him fighting and saying this isn't true, none of this is true, and they did that yesterday, right? They said they're looking forward to their day in court. That was 2 days ago. But if there's video and they're talking to the NFL, would it not behoove the Browns and Deshaun Watson to try to settle now and then just deal? And then they probably could settle and say, hey, part of the settlement is you're not talking to the NFL. I'm just throwing that out there that kind of – I just think as a Browns fan, I'm tired of hearing these stories, and I don't want to know what's really going on inside your world. I'll be honest with you.
I don't really want to speculate on anything.
That could be a possibility. They could settle and that it would change the story. They did that before. Why wouldn't they do that now? That's what I'm saying.
Well, I mean, Busby said in that statement yesterday after, Deshaun came out and said that the first he learned of the allegations was when we all did on Monday. And then Busby took to his Instagram, was like, that's not the case. We've been trying to settle this allegation privately for the last 10 months, and also, too, that Watson has been aware that this allegation has been out there since this alleged assault took place back in October of 2020, so this should not be new news to him, and he should know who the alleged victim is, just because of the seriousness of the allegation and the events that took place, that's something he should remember. Don't know what the pertinent video is. Don't know the context of that video. Is it testimony of, I don't know. You can't speculate on this.
Could be an option to change the storyline. That's all I'm saying. All right, Darryl.
This is the business of Deshaun Watson, and, I was under the impression that all this was pretty much
over
behind us and over, right?
Yep.
With the original settlements and everything else. And, the question that now has to be asked is, are there any more of these coming?
All right, Darryl, we're reading your stuff, 923thefan.com. Love that podcast you do. I'm not sure who you're doing it with. It's always Game Day in Cleveland. Thank you, Darryl. Appreciate you.
You're welcome. Can't wait to get another prediction from you next week.
Yeah, I'll get one from you, too, next time. All right, bye, Darryl. We'll see you later.
Let's come back,
and we'll talk a little bit more about this this new information about Tony Busby and the video in a story that was just released by Pro Football Talk. We'll do that next.